You expect it.
I want you to tell the Lord, oh glory, hallelujah, he's coming. Oh, he's coming back for me. He's coming back for me. Wave your hand and say, Lord, thank you that you are coming back for me. I'm expecting you. Thank you that this world is not my home. Thank you that I will not perish with this world. Thank you for having a home up above. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, glory, hallelujah. You are coming back for me. Father, we want to thank you. Thank you because you are coming back for us. Thank you that if only in this world we have hope, then we are the most miserable of all men. But thank you that there is a home over there. There is a city whose foundation and builder is God Himself. But we look not for a city that has no foundations. We seek not that which passes away. Oh, our eyes are set. We are eagerly looking. And we join hands with our elders. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you this morning. That we have you up there preparing a place for us. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we are praying. Amen. Hallelujah. Please be seated and God bless you. I'd like to praise the Lord for bringing us again this morning onto this series of teachings that God is allowing us to go through. I want to also thank God that God is preparing us for the days ahead. I thank God for the lessons we have just gone through, fighting the good fight of faith. And I trust God that you will do well to take note of those principles. Because the days ahead of us are going to be days of battle. Days of battle because the devil himself has become so furious. He knows that the last of his days are here. He plans calamities, colossal destructions, that as many as he could quickly cut away to hell, he might do it before anybody could come to their rescue. The days ahead is going to be a great day of battle against the world system. The world system is going to get more and more sophisticated. The Bible said, sin shall multiply. The love of many shall wax cold. So many will betray their Lord. Some will sell their birthright for a mess of pottage. The battles ahead are going to be more subtle than you thought. And yet the Bible says, only those that endure to the end shall be saved. My prayer is that as we learn these principles, as we learn to fight for our inheritance, the Lord has promised to assist us. He will help each one of us. That on that crucial time and day, you will not be found wanting in the name of Jesus Christ. I'd like us to begin our discussion this morning from a very simple and familiar passage, the promise of His coming. The promise that He gave to us about His coming. And as we look at that promise, we will look at what is our response. What is our own preparation looking up unto His coming? I'd like you to look at John chapter 14. John 14. That's a passage we have read several times, but it is still important for us to note some few things there before we build on this message. John 14, from verse 1. I'll quickly read it down to verse 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas says to him, Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Let's stop there. May God bless His word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That is a passage that the Lord Jesus Himself, who cannot lie, declared. Several times we regard what men say, what other people propounded. We could even build doctrines. But I want you to note, this is coming from the very mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in chapter 13, Jesus had been discussing with His disciples several things He had said. And at a point, He stood up and said, look, I will leave you. The disciples began to be very sorrowful. They began to worry, they began to think and say, you will leave us in this place? More so that before that time, He had already said, in this world, you are going to have tribulation. Said, the world is going to hate you because it has hated me first. And yet, He was going. And Peter said to Jesus, in verse 36 of chapter 13, Lord, where goest thou? Jesus answered him, where I go, thou cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By the time he was leaving, there was a need for this instruction and this promise that Jesus gave. Said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye
believe in God and believe also in me. Now, I want you to note that verse very closely. What was Jesus Christ going to talk about? Those of us that have not actually seen the vision of the glory of God and the glory of heaven, they are the ones that can scramble for the world. My first prayer this morning is that God will help you to see the emptiness of the world system. I want God to help you to discover the temporariness of the world system and everything it contains. To struggle and scramble and grab the world. Sincerely speaking, I do not envy you at all. The truth is that what you are grabbing is temporary. The truth is that what you are trying to catch has no foundations. The truth is that the world system, the Bible says, passes away. Maybe we should read that so that we can return back to our passage. Hallelujah. Go to 1 John chapter 2 and see what God says about this world. John chapter 2. You may wish to read from verse 15, and we'll go on quickly to verse 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, listen, all that is in the world. When the Bible used the word all, that means without exception. Other version says everything that is in the world. They can be divided into three categories. Everything in this world, everything. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Everything that the world system is inch about is a trinity. The trinity that governs the world system. The trinity of lust. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. And the pride of life. They are the three pillars on which the world system is hanging. Everything that is in the world has to do with these three things. The lust of the flesh. The cravings of the sinful nature. The desire to satisfy and indulge the flesh. The natural man. Either by what he eats, or by what he drinks, or by what he uses to enjoy himself. So you notice that the whole world is only crying and seeking for more comfort, more convenience for the flesh. Hallelujah. And if you are caught in the world system, you will discover that the world system is only pushing you to seek and to acquire that which the flesh, the natural man, is looking for. businesses. When they say, this man is making it in business, their parameter is simple. When they say, this man is comfortable, they are simply saying, he is able to satisfy more and more of the lust of his flesh. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Are you getting what I'm talking about? When you look at the world system, everything that the world is arranging is what makes the flesh comfortable. The second aspect of the Trinity that governs the world system is the pride of life, a sense of importance because of what you think you have and the place you occupy. So you see that in the world system, everybody is rushing to become something. The reason for competition in the world system is because the world says, how can you say you are something when you are not somebody? The world system is governed by the lust of the eyes, that which appeals to the eye, that which satisfies the cravings of the eyes. The world system spends so much money not on functionalities but on aesthetics, that which appeals to the eye. You invest so much of your life to service this Trinity that governs the world system. But the Bible now says, those who love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. Verse 17. And the world does what? Passes away. Hey, please note that. The world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Are you with me? Are you with me? I want you to know that the world system is passing away. One thing I know about the world is that the world system, there's nothing permanent about it. Beginning from even the normal fashions that the world system introduces, is there any permanence? Eh? I'm not hearing you. No permanence. If the world system introduces a fashion of dress this year, and you rushed, and you said, this is the one that is raining now, and you went and bought it, just when the world system has sold its fashion, someone will go behind again and say, let's change it, so that they can have something else to run after. That's why, even though your clothes, they don't necessarily get old, the truth is that they are no more fashionable. If not for the world system, the money that God has provided for you, sincerely, it is enough to carry you all through life. But because the world system is saying, no, you are using this thing for a long time, how can you be using this all the time? You better go and change. when you go into the world of the young people. You know, if there was a time when it was a fashion to carry a bushy hair, do you remember that? When young men, they just make their hair like this, straight, and then they're shaking like this. And there are so many young sisters that time that it was that fashion you married. Unfortunately, when that fashion went, your marriage also went. But gradually, the world system is changing. And what has it changed to now? Low cut. Sometimes, it will just want you to scrape everywhere, and then you rub your head with a Vaseline, shiny under the sun. That's the world system. But don't forget, that was where our fathers started. Am I telling a lie? When you go to those barbers in those days, we call them bajamas. They carry that crude knife and they cut everything and put oil on top of it for you. It's shiny. And as you are coming out, it's all right. The world system says, no, how can you be doing that? We need bushy hair. Now they have gone back to low cut. The world system. My prayer is that you will not go with the world. The world system is going somewhere. I see the world system like a very big caravan with a driver. The driver of the world system is the prince of this world, the devil. And he is steadily going somewhere. It's just that you don't know he is going somewhere. He has a destination, the bottomless pit. But you see, he is not moving so fast so that many more passengers can jump on board. There were these Agbero boys, these loaders, who are standing by the wayside and say, join us, come with us, we are going together. Don't be different. Join the group of the people that are making it in this world. Many are already going. And the driver is just toddling on. But any time you want them to jack into reality and say, where are you carrying me? It will slow down and cool you with some sophisticated treatments. Then you relax. Say, there's no problem. There's no problem. Then it rocks you up and down until you become unconscious of your journey to eternity. And then it goes. The world system, because of the loss of the eyes, you will look at all the cars that are being produced now. Can you all please try to cast a glance on all the cars you see now? What do you notice about them? Elegant, very flashy, very soft. All those cars, 404 of those days, where are they now? What of Morris Minor? Gone. Now listen. But when you look at the quality, the durability, what do you notice? The world system is deliberately compromising durability, strength for flash, so that you will always get something to run after. The world system is engaging you filling your heart, your expectations, with things that look flashy, but they are vanity. By the time Solomon came to discover the trinity of the world that he fell into, it was too late. He said, I exercise my soul unto vanity. He died a poor soul. Solomon's name is not recorded in the book of Hebrews. He's not one of the heroes of faith. The world cheated him. He had opportunity to be the greatest of men that ever lived, but he was the poorest of men when he died. The world cheated him. Hallelujah! Thank God that this world is not my home. Thank God that my destiny is not with the world system. Every man in the world is a pitiable man. The reason is because they appear today and tomorrow they are no more. I wish God will help you to understand the temporariness of everything that the world system gives. There were great, great power brokers in the world some years ago, even in our country. They were talking as if nothing can shake them. Today, the world has turned away from their side. Ayeti yimawalo. Do you understand that now? So they are on the backside now. They are non-entities. When they talk now, they say, who are you? Do you know what the world system does that to them? So that they can get something to pursue. God will help you to succeed in your business. But let me tell you, business is in the world and is of the world. There is no permanence in business. You may not like to hear that, but that's the truth. The world system, there is a man behind it. The prince of this world. He knows what he is doing. There is technological advancement in the world. Thank God for that. But I want to tell you, the man behind the world system, he is not going to let those technologies serve Jesus Christ. He is planning to use those things to serve his determined purpose. A purpose which is clearly contrary unto God and to Jesus. Are you following me gradually? Eh? Hallelujah. When Dr. Dunze was talking about child upbringing yesterday, and he was talking about television and video. Some of you never thought and say, what sincerely is in the heart of the people that operate video and television in the world system? That every time you open, there are only three things that they are teaching. What are those three things? They are teaching the lust of the flesh. You either see a naked woman, when the world wants to advertise ordinary Lux soap, instead of coming and say soap is good for your body, he will not do that. He will bring a naked woman Some of you are saying, I'm just waiting to catch news. But the man behind the word, he said, just before you catch the news, catch this first. You know, the man of the world, he knows what he's doing. Years ago, cinema houses was wonderful, isn't it? You see young people trooping there, trooping there, trooping there. Now you come to Lagos, you don't see people going to cinema halls now. So many cinema houses have become churches. Have they? So praise the Lord for that. That's wonderful. You don't know that the prince of this world has discovered that it takes too much time to go to a cinema house. And not many people are going to go there. How can you go and crowd just there and be watching an empty screen? We can transfer the cinema screen to your bedroom. The people don't go to cinema houses not because they are converted. It's because there's a better way of getting into those things than that one. Are you hearing me? But there's something I want to say this morning, that the world is passing away. This world, there's no foundation. One day, we will wake up and discover that the world is no more. One day, everything that the world system has put together will collapse. One day, we will discover that everything has melted. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Peter very quickly. Don't forget where we started, John chapter 14. We are going back there. But we need to establish this before we go. Amen. Are you in 2 Peter? All right. That's a good passage you can read when you get home. In fact, you can read 2 Peter from chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. But for today, I'd like you to go to chapter 3 quickly. And then we'll make some quick discussions as we go. In verse... let me start from verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write to you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, scoffers. And what would they say? Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. When we talk about the coming of Jesus, there are many scoffers. They say, don't terrify us. They say, don't bother us. Don't make us afraid for nothing. This world is our own and it will continue. This is how the fathers spoke. They say, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. Nothing has happened. You better relax. Those of you that are too heavenly minded, that you are earthly useless, you better mind your business. Those are scoffers. And these scoffers, they are not only in the market, too. They are also on the pulpit. You hear a preacher stand and say, yes! Oh. I'm not eager to go to heaven. I'm going to bring heaven down here on earth. That's a scoffer.
You may think he's preaching something great.
No.
He is damaging your soul. He is making you to become unconscious that you are a pilgrim in this world. He's telling you that, oh, you can invest your life in this world and that you get something. He is deceiving you. And this morning, as we study, one of the things that God must help you to see is that this world is not your own. It's passing. I have not lived for too long, but I have seen the world on a journey. When I decided to jump off, say, don't carry me again. Hallelujah. I have decided I jump off that caravan. Don't carry me. Please, go your way. Go where you are going. The principles of the kingdom of God, they are highly and very offensive to the principles of the world. You cannot be a kingdom-minded Christian and be at peace with the world system. All the Christians that were going on a journey to heaven, the world found no place for them. The Bible said they wandered in sheepskins. Do you know why? Because the world system had no accommodation for people like that. I don't expect the world that didn't find a place for my Master Jesus to be born. There was no place. There was place for everyone else. There was a place for the harlots. There were places for those that are selling beer. But there was no place for my Master to be born into. I don't expect that world that has not changed will suddenly find a space for me, his disciple. But when the world begins to applaud you, know very quickly that you are on another road. Men that say such things, the Bible said, they willingly are ignorant of one thing. They chose to be ignorant. People don't like to hear what I'm preaching. They say, no. That man's message, it will just make somebody to feel bad. I want something that will feel me good. So, my prayer for you is that may you never feel good in an environment that will suddenly collapse over your neck. May God set an alarm on your soul. An alarm that reminds you, look up! Look up! Your redemption is near. Whatever you are doing here, get ready to pack up. Get ready for your eternal home. Hallelujah. Look, the Bible says, let me read it so that we can move. Whereby the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Whereby the word that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Now, let me pause there. Can I pause there? Now, follow me back to the Gospels. Because when we are reading this, you might not understand what we are saying. We are talking of one world, very sophisticated, highly developed, that suddenly crashed, collapsed, washed away. There were pregnant women in those days. There were toddlers. There were businessmen. There were major generals. There were kings in the days of Noah. Nobody thought it would happen. Suddenly, they were flushed away. Wait. Let's go back to the book of Matthew and try to picture that before we go on. Can we? All right. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. Hallelujah. I want to read from verse 32. But where I'm going actually was to verse 40 or to 39. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near. Even where? At the doors. At the doors. Verily I say to you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man. No, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. That day and that hour is the top secret. Even angels don't know about it. God couldn't trust angels with that information. But he gave us some signs. Verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now, the question is, how were the days of Noah? Let's read. For as in the days that were before the flood, what were they doing? They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Some of you don't understand that when we say Jesus is coming and we say that the world is passing away, some of you say, it will take some many, many years before he will come. And even if he begins to start destroying the world, it will be happening gradually. And before the whole thing will have disappeared, I will have known. So I will quickly change. You are joking. In the days of Noah, they were doing what? They were eating and drinking. What does that mean? There were merriments. There were enjoyments. Beer parlors. Drinking boats. Burial ceremonies. Funeral parties. Political meetings. Congratulatory meetings. Thanksgiving services. Everything was going on. Eating and what? Drinking. And do what again? Marrying. There were marriages going on. On that day, there was a wedding going on. Somebody was wedding on that day when the flood came. Someone was saying, hey, I will have my honeymoon. I will have an honeymoon. He had the honeymoon inside the water. Several others, they were really prospecting for a great business breakthrough. They even made capital deposits, hoping that their goods will arrive from Tarshish. Unfortunately, the flood came. Both the good, the exporter, and the importer, they were flushed away. The Bible says they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark.
knew not
until the flood came and took them all away.
So shall,
not may,
not probably. What did Jesus said? So shall the coming
of the Son of Man be. Can anything be clearer than that?
How will the coming of the man be? So shall also the coming
of the Son of Man be. Which means, if Jesus is going to arrive today, nothing will change. There will be marriage, there will be eating, there will be drinking, there will be normal business, there will be no holiday.
There may be no holiday that say, all Christians, your Lord is going to come tomorrow. So all of you stay at home and prepare. And then we all go and stand by the door and say, we are waiting for Jesus. We are waiting for you. We are waiting, we are waiting, we are waiting, Jesus.
No.
There shall be no holiday. It may not happen when you are in the prayer meeting.
They knew not when it came.
Did you see verse 40? Then shall two be in the field. One shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken and the other left. Who is talking here? Eh? This is Judas. He wasn't telling a parable. He said, so. What is the meaning of so? What is the meaning of so? Just like that. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be.
Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord does come. Hallelujah. Let's jump away and return to our Peter. Can we go on with our Peter? Eh? Alright. Go quickly with me to Peter. Don't forget John chapter 14. We must come back because that's our promise. Hallelujah.
The Bible said, but in verse 7, the heavens and the earth, which are now, the ones that are now here, by the same word, they are kept, how? In store, reserved. Unto what? I don't know whether you are listening. Are you listening? Did you hear what Jesus said there? And what the Holy Spirit is saying? That the word that kept the word of Noah, and the word that said it will be flushed out, and it was flushed out, it is the same word that has kept this present earth. With everything here, they are kept. They are being preserved. They are being reserved by that unfailing word of God. Reserved for promotion. Eh? Reserved for embellishment. Reserved for renovation. What is it reserved for? Fire. I don't want you to scare you, but I want you to know everything. All the good buildings, all the high-ranking buildings, every wonderful thing that is here, they are reserved. And whatever you are planting here, as you are doing it, don't forget at the back of your mind that this also shall burn.
as you are laying the foundation for your house, please build your house. Are you hearing me? If God gives you opportunity to build a house, what did I say you should do? Build it and be living there. But at the back of your mind, this also shall melt. So when you are putting billions of dollars in building a house, keep remembering, this also, no matter how fortified I make it, it shall also melt. Hallelujah. Beloved, verse 8. Be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord, it will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are daring shall be burned up. Seeing then, are you now with me? I'm coming to the conclusion of that, so that I can return and then we can pray. Seeing then that all these things, how many things? All these things shall be dissolved. What's the meaning of dissolve? Melt, decompose, shred into pieces beyond recognition. You can't put it together. It will dissolve. See then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of person ought you to be? That's where we are stopping. What manner of men ought you to be? In all, I want you to note all there. All holy conversation and godliness. All round holiness. All round godliness. All round cheerfulness. Whether you're in the business hall, all round holiness. Whether you are signing a contract, you say, even this contract, even if I cheat, it will still dissolve. Should I dissolve my life because of what we dissolve? And to a foolish man, to dissolve your eternity because of a matter that will soon dissolve. And to a foolish man, to mortgage that which is real for that which will soon dissolve. Looking for, and that's where our team came. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, which promise? John chapter 14. Can you follow me back to John 14 now? Did you see the promise? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, this is Jesus talking. Some people say, we don't even know. We don't know. We know. If you don't know, I know. I know I have a home up there.
Hallelujah! If you are not sure, I am very sure,
there's a place for me. Look at the Bible.
He said, if it were not so, I would have told you, I have no business cajoling you. I have no business telling you a lie. I have no business. What do I need you for?
If it were not so, I would have told you.
I go to prepare what?
A place for who?
For who? Amen. Amen.
The Bible said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there.
Hallelujah!
I don't want you to dabble into theological confusion. Some people say, this kind of passage, he didn't mean it. What else did you mean? What else did you mean?
Some people say, where? Where we contain all of us?
You think that when we talk of the heavenlies, that it is a small space. Even when you study the planetary system, you know that the earth, as big as it is nothing compared with some stars. Are you with me? Some people say, there's no space there, there's no space there. Where it is, wherever it is now, there, Brother Gilly will be there. Are you planning like that? Are you praying to be part of that? May God help you in the name of Jesus.
And if I go,
and he has gone,
I will prepare a place for you, and that's what he's doing.
I will come again. I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Second Peter again. Don't worry that I'm shortening in between. It is just for you to be able to follow.
Nevertheless, we, according to his promise,
we are looking for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved brother, seeing that you, now, I don't want to assume. I don't want to assume at this point. Are you looking for such things? Eh? How many of you are looking for such things? Amen. I'm happy that I can see several people say, I'm looking for it. I'm looking out for it. Now, the Bible now says, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be what? Now, these are serious issues. When we say, looking up for his coming, there are some issues to deal with there. It says, be diligent. What's the meaning of diligent? Eh? Work hard. Are they? Be diligent. Be hard working. Be serious minded. Let me check whether we can get other versions here. Be diligent. That's what King James says. I'm trying to see whether we have another version. New International Version. So then, dear friends, saying you are looking forward to this,
make every effort to be found how? Spotless. Make every effort. What's the meaning of every effort? Every effort to be found how? Spotless. Dear brother, make every effort
say, yeah, don't worry, don't worry. Be careful. It may happen today. It is possible that all the plans we have for several years to come, just before we see it, he comes and says, come on, let's go. Make every effort to be found spotless. Everything that is trying to spot your life and spoil your character and spoil your testimony and spoil your personal relationship with God, make every effort to drop it. To be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. This passage is too serious for me now. I'm not sure I can go away from there because it looks the matter. If you are looking for that which is eternal, that which is permanent, that which will not fade away, we are planning to be part of that glorious company in the general assembly of the church of the living God. Make every effort to be found before him. How? Spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Three important things. Spotless. Spotless. Look at your life. Look at your family. What are the spots in your character? They say, oh, this brother is very good, is very gentle, is very generous, but what is the but of your character? What is the but of your life? Oh, he preaches very well, but he also has problem with young girls. Brother, the last time you donated to church, you gave about 1 million naira. But your office secretary, what do you do with her? When it comes to buying a car, you bought a car for the man of God. Anytime the man of God is riding that car, you say, yes, thank God, the Lord used me to supply that car to that man of God. Hallelujah. But the relationship between you and your wife is not correct. Somebody asked a question here yesterday and said, what is agreement? Can I agree with somebody? And we are saying, any agreement you are having with someone that is a disagreement with your wife is a spot. And some of you are joining hands with a strange girl somewhere. Say, agree with me over this matter. Agree with me over this matter. Where is your wife? Brother? Brother, where is your wife? Make every effort to be found of him. How? Spotless. Are you still telling lies in your business? The last time you were going across the border, you know what you did. You know what you said. But it was not true. Supposedly, as you crossed that border, he came. Brother, will you be there? When we get to heaven, we say, where is Brother Cosmos? They say, Cosmos? Cosmos? Say it's one of our leaders in full gospel. Cosmos? Well, let's check the manifest. You know there's a manifest for all those that fly to heaven. It is in the book of life. When they check the manifest, sorry, the name is not here. Maybe it's on another flight. What is the other flight? The one that goes to hell. Where will your name be found? You see, I cannot stop this message before asking you, whatever you must do today to deal with spots in your life, spots in your character, spots in your business, spots in your family, spots in your relationship, do it now. Don't promise me and say, brother, when I get home, I will do it. You may not get home. And I tell you, the devil is very wicked. He's looking for someone he can quickly catch. Some people said, I will collect my life when I get home. The devil say, he will let this man carry out his decision. He will be gone forever. Let's kill him now. And they are dead. There on the road. So that their destiny is forever sealed. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today is the day to do something. Today is the day to make your life right with God. Today is the day to make every effort to be found of him spotless. That strange woman that is a spot in your life. I know you don't like it. You say, oh Lord, you know, I don't want this thing, but I keep falling back to it. Brother, sister, make every effort this moment to be found of him. How? Spotless. Not only spotless, blameless. I wonder why they introduced the word blameless. Because there is an accuser of the brethren. There is someone who is going to accuse you and say, God, could you have said this man too? Look at this, look at this, look at this. You must not only be spotless, you must make every effort to be blameless. To give occasion to the devil not to find a chance to accuse you. Blameless. Blameless. Blameless as a child of God. Number three, and to be found of him in peace. Are you in peace with God? Is there no matter between you and Jesus that you have not settled? Are there not issues that you and Jesus you are still struggling with? Are there not areas of disobedience that the master has been asking you about and you have not responded? Is there no area where Jesus is saying, even though he has said this, he did this, but this area, I am at loggerhead with him? Is your life at peace with God? Is your business at peace with Jesus? Is your heart at peace with God? Make every effort. Make every effort. Dear brother, make every effort. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And look at what that scripture says as I conclude. Bear in mind. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Just as our dear brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom that God gave him, he writes the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. There are things we are saying today that you say, well, I don't understand. Whether you understand or you don't understand, at least you should understand this one thing. Make every effort to be found of him. How? Spotless. Say, well, me, I don't know whether tribulation will come first, whether 1,000 angels will hang in the sky. I don't know how many bears was on Aaron. You don't need to know all those things. If you don't know all of those, you won't go to hell. But you will go to hell if when he comes, he finds you not spotless, not blameless, and not at peace with him. Some say, you see, let us turn to the Greek of that Bible passage. Let us go to the Aramaic. Let us go to the Hebrew. Let us go to Latin. Let me tell you. The question of being found spotless before Jesus has nothing to do with Greek. It has nothing to do with Hebrew. It has nothing to do with Aramaic. It has nothing to do with Latin. It has nothing to do with German. It has all to do with your heart. Am I speaking too big English? If you don't understand my English, understand this one thing. Do your best. Make every effort to do what? To be found of him spotless. Those of you that are wearing white dresses today, when there is a small spot on your dress, what do you do? What do you do? You will take that, you will get bleach, or you get detergent. You put it on that spot. What do? You squeeze. Whereas you squeeze the whole dress one time, that point, that half spot, how many times do you squeeze it? As many times until you don't see it again. That's what we are saying. Don't you understand? I'm asking you. You mean you don't understand? Make every effort. That spot. That stage of your life. Don't sleep over it. Don't say it will take care of itself. Spots don't take care of themselves. If spots will do anything, it will spoil your life. Make every effort. And to be found of him. Without spots, without blame, and at peace with him. You therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things, therefore, beware lest you also be led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now. Both now. You see, I love that scripture. Both now. Now that we are still waiting for him, to him be glory. And forever. Amen. Now listen. That is the natural place to conclude this message. When God says amen to a matter, what do I say again? What do I say again? I also say amen. But before you say amen, are you saying amen to all we have said? Are you saying yes? Let it be so. I will give up the world. I will make every effort from now to deal with spots, to deal with wrinkles, to deal with blames, to deal with dubious aspects of my character, so that I can be found of him at peace, not in pieces. I want to be able to come before Jesus in peace and say, Lord, welcome. I should be able to say peace, and he said peace to you too. This morning, as I draw you to the place of prayer, that scripture says, if it were not so, I would have told you. If these things were not so, I would have told you. If there is nothing to expect, I will have told you. That's Jesus. If there is no place over there except this world, I will have told you. If this world is the ultimate, I will have told you to relax and grab the world. But I'm telling you, there is a place there. And I'm going to prepare that place for you. That where I am, there you may be also. Some say, but how can I make effort? The first effort is for you to determine in your heart that today, whatever Jesus will do, to settle the case between me and him, I'm ready. Even if it means matters of restitution. Hallelujah. There are certain things Jesus is saying, go and return it. This is not your own. 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 You keep saying, but how can I do that? How can I do that? And any time we come to the place of prayer, that's what God reminds you. You've not done this. You've not obeyed. You've not corrected this. You've not settled this matter. And because of that, your prayer gets a blockage. Because there's a matter. You will make efforts today. You will say, Jesus, seeing that all this thing I'm running after will dissolve, I don't want to dissolve with the world. I don't want to lose. I will have run in vain if I don't make it in your presence. That effort is to come straight to Jesus. That effort is to look at your friend and say, friend, we met by incident. We didn't come together. Do you know that? All the people you met in this world, did you come with them? Do you know where they are going? Why are you tying your life to death? Do you know that every man that you have come to meet in this world is by coincidence? And we meet to pass. It's only those that get over there that we meet to pass no more. As I pray with you now, every effort to run away from sin, make it this morning. Maybe you have been going to church. Nobody has told you this. Nobody has told you that you've got to be spotless. You've got to be blameless. You've got to be at peace with Jesus. You say, they don't tell me that. They just say, once you give, God will give to you. So, that's why you have done that one. And you say, but this one, may I know, no. Thank God that you know today. Are you hearing me? That you are in this meeting is that God is saying, I've given you another chance. May God help you. May the Holy Spirit not allow you to slip out into that caravan. Thousands are there. They are going. Helplessly going. The driver is driving them. I can see them now on a very steep gradient rushing down. Jump off. Jump off and come to Jesus. May God help you. As we are looking for him, rushing down. Jump off. Jump off and come to Jesus. May God help you. As we are looking for him, he will appear. But not to come and preach sin. When Jesus comes next time, not coming to preach sin. And he says, repent, I love you. No. He's coming to take those that belong to him. My time is finished, sir. Hallelujah. May God help us. May the Holy Spirit put this word into your spirit. Many things that we ought to say that we cannot say. But that which is said is clearly enough if you want to make heaven. Let us pray. Let us pray. Bow your heads in prayer and talk to God now. You must talk to God now. You need to talk to Jesus now. You need to take a time to discuss with Jesus. So, Father, seeing that everything in this world will dissolve, church buildings will dissolve. So if you think, me, I'm building church for God, and your life is not spotless, you are wasting time, it will dissolve. If you think you are building a big business, so that you can support missions, but you are a dubious man in character, even that with the Lord. Are you spotless? Is your garment washed? Are you blameless? Are you at peace with Jesus? Are you at peace with the King of Kings? Is there any unsettled matter between you and the Lord? Talk about it now. Make every effort to deal with it now. Now. This is the hour. This is the hour. God will heal your body. God will give you food to eat. God will give you car. God will make you prosperous. But all of those things, they will dissolve. They will dissolve. They are the things that perish with the usage. But that which is eternal, make sure you don't miss it. Thank you, Father. Holy Spirit, thank you for this hour. Thank you for another opportunity to prepare men for your coming. That prepared place is for prepared men. Holy Spirit, please come and walk now. Don't let any of us run in vain. Don't any man go out of this convention this morning without a clear understanding of what to do. Those that are crying to you already and say, Father, we must settle this case today. We must settle this matter of sin in my heart today. This part of my character, it has to go today. I have been hearing others saying, it doesn't matter. There's nobody without a problem. But you are talking about being spotless. Lord, please intervene for us. Intervene for us. Do something now. Holy Spirit, break the chains of sin, the chains of worldliness, and the chains of Satan over the lives of your people. In the name of Jesus. Listen. You've been in the meetings over time. You've listened to several servants of God, and you will still listen to many more. But the long and short of what all the servants of God are saying, don't miss that which is eternal. Make every effort to be at peace with God. I feel very deep in my spirit that we must settle that matter now. Several of you sitting there, your heart is not at peace. There is a spot in your character. Nobody has addressed it. And those are things that may rob you of that which is eternal. I would like to give you that chance this morning. You are going to stand wherever you are. If you want to make peace with the Lord, if you want to deal with spots of your character, you want to deal with those things that militate against the purpose of God in your life, you want to give your heart to Jesus. You have followed them to convention, but your life has not changed. You have attended many meetings, but your character remains the same. Oh, you are a chief, but you have not changed. You are a member of the parochial council of your church. You are still a liar. There are girls that are delivering children for you somewhere. Your wife doesn't know about it. I warn you this morning. Come quickly. Make every effort and settle the case. And I see Jesus saying, come. It is not yet time for judgment. It is time for me to help you. The blood is still flowing from Emmanuel's vein. For those who will take courage to step out and say, Jesus, help my soul. As the brother gives us a solemn music, I want you, if you are making a point, a decision, an effort this moment to make things right with Jesus, to correct that fault, to deal with that blame, and to deal with that matter of conflict between your soul and that of Jesus. I want you to calm down. Don't just raise your hand. Just come where you are. And let's come to this altar. Wherever the Lord is sanctified. This is an altar already. You will walk out wherever you are. And because we don't have time, you need to run. You cannot walk leisurely. You must run if you are coming at all. You have to run, please. And as you are coming, don't mind if I ask you to kneel down and say, God, you must save my life. If this world will dissolve, what am I doing with this spot? What am I doing with this issue? What am I doing with this matter in my life? People say I'm going somewhere and I cannot see where I'm going. Lord, help my soul. If you are coming, you have to run, brother. If you are coming, you must walk fast. You must wait to come down and say, God, God, every effort to correct my life, to make my life right, to be proud of you, blameless, spotless, without blemish. Lord, help me today. Jesus, help me today. I don't care what others say about me now. I don't care what others are looking for. But my matter now is to be at peace with God, to be at peace with Jesus, to be found blameless and spotless in your sight. If you are coming, brother, please come quick. I know some of you are climbing down. Please come quickly and get on your knees. Say, Jesus, my life has to be dealt with today. This issue that I have not opened to anybody, this matter that I have never confessed, this matter that I have left pending, today, Lord. Lord Jesus, help my soul. Please call on the name of the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord. Lift up your heart and pray. Pray. Don't talk to a man. Don't look at a man. Look at him. Who is able to help? He is able to forgive. He is able to cleanse. He is able to deliver. He is able to save. Paraba Santa Corobusiri. Pariba Sando Kuyeke Terebusuri. Young man, if you are coming here, you must run. If you are coming here, you must run. If you are not heavily pregnant, then you must run. Paya Kateke Zemborobusina Bakuruba Sila. All our leaders, can you please stand up and help us to pray? Help us to speak to God. Looking unto the next millennium is looking for his coming. Looking for him who said I will come again. Oh Lord, help us. Friend, are you coming here? You need to run. Friend, if you are here coming, you need to run. God bless you. If the Holy Ghost is talking to you, make peace with me today. Run to make right with God. Halabakuri Mastanda Bakuri. Jesus, unto you will come. Unto you who answer prayer. Unto you who does what the man cannot do. Unto you who saves. Unto you who forgives. Unto you who cleanses. Unto you who delivers. If you are coming, you are already late. You need to run. Thank you, Baba. Thank you. The Lord bless you. Yes, I can see you coming down. Come down quick. Let the hand of the Lord do something in your life now. God bless you, sir. Don't say, but I was here for 30 years. I was a Christian for 1950. When there is a spot, when there is a place, when you are not at peace with God, what kind of Christianity is there? Thank you, madam. Please find a place to get on your knees. Thank you, my dear friend. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Today is a day. The day the Lord has made. Thank you, young man. Get on your knees. God bless you. My friend, God bless you. Get on your knees. On your knees, brother. On your knees. Madam, on your knees. Friend, on your knees. On your knees. Lord, do not pass me by. Savior, 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 yeah.